David.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pete, David, George, Janice,
yes.
Myself. Who else is on?
Carol.
Lydia. Carol, Lydia.
Is Lonnie?
Where's AC?
They're not back on yet.
Pete, David,
we
Carol.
Have Pete, Lydia, David, Carol, George, Janice, myself. Who else got on?
Dan and Lonnie.
Dan and Lonnie. So we're missing Teresa and AC.
In future, you know, this is an interesting problem, and I've had to chair a few of these kinds of calls. There must be some way to ensure that if the person chairing has, for some reason, cut off, that the call doesn't end.
I'll look into it, Dave, see what we can do.
Or at least when I'm setting it up, I'll make sure, or when it gets set up, we can make sure that that's not vulnerable.
Yeah.
Can
okay,
I repeat,
so,
just for my information, Pete, David, Carol, Lydia, and Janice are here now. Is George on?
Yes.
Yeah.
And George.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Everybody's on except Teresa and AC.
Okay.
So I assume and hope they'll get back on. Sorry about that, folks.
Leslie, Ray couldn't make the call today?
I don't know. He's not on it. I guess that means he couldn't make it. Yes.
And we're back on the web. Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you. So,
can I maybe go back to where I was?
Yes.
Here's my anxiety, Lonnie, is that I don't think this 347-7 in central services at BAI is a reliable number. It looks to me to be tremendously shaky. And I feel that we would be much more prudent to just cut it out. And that would give BAI a lot more breathing room to get back up on their feet. This is just not going to be an easy process for them, and it's not something I think they can do quickly. And if you cut that out... If you cut that out, then, of course, that impacts the national office by $347,000. And I really think that we need to look at the national office and what our expenses are there and see if we can make some more cutbacks there, because already it's a deficit of $44,000. And we don't have liquidity anywhere to deal with it if the January drives go bad, and we could be in the same situation at National that we are right now at BAI, of not having acted quickly enough to prevent a drain that we can't cover.
Carol, this is Dan.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm really wanting to strongly suggest. First of all, I know that in September our resolution was that all five stations and the national office try to accumulate 1 month's operating reserve. With the national office losing so much income, I just don't see how it's possible for the national office to budget that way, but to at least budget for a balanced budget without any deficit spending. Giving up that $347,000 just seems to me to make an awful lot of sense.
I second that. This is Lydia.
Yeah, we've looked hard at the national budget, and obviously we've reined in expenses, I think, by at least $100,000 since the last September budget. The top four expenses at National, one is Democracy Now! Costs the network $440,000 a year, a little bit more, in fact, I think $500,000. Brings in revenue about $2.6 million, $2.7 million, cash in the door. The number two expense at the National is insurance, $220,000 or so a year. I think we've talked about that a number of times at board meetings, D&O insurance, earthquake insurance, et cetera. Third biggest expense, really maybe even the second, is legal. Cleaning up the mess from last year, basically, or 2 years ago, very high legal expenses. Fourth biggest expense, national board expenses, which, in fact, are probably going to increase next year.
Yes!
I love it.
Thank you, Dan.
For obvious reasons. Those are the four big ticket items.
Except salaries you left out.
Except, of course, salaries. So those are the services that we provide to the broader Pacifica network. Again, I think when we look at solutions, we have to look at solutions to the problem. The problem is listener support falling, and we have to take a hard look at that area. I know people point out a lot of different areas that folks think ought to be cut or can be contracted, and of course we are all doing our best. I'm taking a 15% pay cut effective December 1st in response to the crisis at WBAI. So is the general manager at WBAI. We're making a lot of personal sacrifices and institutional sacrifices, especially at the national office. We lead, and we understand the importance of doing that, and there are substantial cuts here. I think the issue that we need to face collectively is the decline of listener support and try to take action to begin to address those areas, as well as basic prudent financial practice, which you pointed out, Carol, 1 month's operating. Really, in fact, what the BAI crisis shows us is that we should have 3 to 4 months, 5 months, 6 months operating in reserve so that we can weather those kind of crises when they come up in the future.
Could I make a follow-up question, please?
Yeah.
As you mentioned, Dan, from the September budget to the budget in front of us, National has made $100,000 in cuts.
Actually, it's been closer to $200,000. And if you count the foregone central service monies from WBEI, it's about $400,000 already.
Right. Well, I'm just looking at the expenses and what you're doing to try to operate within your income. I hear you say that, and I'm certain that you are absolutely accurate in that statement. But what I cannot see in looking at the budget is what we are foregoing. And that disturbs me. I need to know what positions are not being filled that were budgeted and are no longer budgeted. What is it that we are giving up and not doing this year that we had previously planned to do?
That's a good question.
And that's why I have, and why the board actually last March passed a resolution requesting that the board be provided with a confidential list of positions being funded with the budget so that we can see what we're funding when we approve the budget. And that information we didn't get in September, and we don't have it now. And that makes me quite uneasy because I just actually don't know what the national office will be doing with this money, what we will be doing in funding our affiliate services, in funding our national programming, in funding our KU operations, in funding the various things that are significant to Pacifica that are done through the national. I can't see in this budget what we had planned to do and what we've cut back and are not going to do, and I just can't tell. And so I want to know. I want to see it.
Okay. Let's just respond quickly to that, Lonnie.
Okay, and then we have Janice and AC also have a question.
I'll put Lydia on the stack.
Well, let me just take the central services part of it first, if I can. All of the central service lines are vulnerable. You know, KPFA, we don't know what that will really be. We don't know what W will do because it's all listener support related. Of course, WBAI more so because of their circumstances. But that is the precise crisis. That is, we don't know what national income is going to be. It is vulnerable from every station, although that, of course, is different for each station, the amount of that vulnerability. That is our problem. That is precisely the problem. None of the income for the stations and for the national is at this point without a lot of vulnerability. And not only for the year, as I mentioned, but for January, that's just scary. And yes, you do want to reduce as much as you can. And you want to be in the best possible situation to recover. Say if January is bad, maybe the spring drive or maybe plans for increasing revenue will crystallize and so forth. Now, what to do about staff and expenses at the national is what I'm hearing the question too. Yeah, God, One of the problems in trying to budget for the national, let's just take legal, for example. You can come up with a number in the budget, but you have no way to know if new legal issues will pop up and whether that line will be totally, you know, higher than you thought. Same thing with the insurance, is relatively fixed. It's hard to, you know, have less insurance without taking on more risk. So staffing does become the way in which you try to deal with some of the problem. But what happens, and Dan, you can pick it up here, is that you are going to give up certain functions in reducing staff. We've got certain staff positions reduced or eliminated from the national, but we haven't informed the people involved yet because it's premature. So we budgeted for it beginning prudently by the end of December or January, but we're holding to see what will happen at WBEI in the month of December. And if necessary, we'll do exactly what WBEI has done. We'll move our expenses down. We have no choice. We have the same problem they do.
Let me just add a couple quick things. One of the things, as I mentioned earlier, Lydia, when we decided how to tackle the financial crisis of the network, and indeed in line with overall trends within Pacifica where the national is being de-emphasized, a lot of local authority is going back down to local stations in all kinds of different ways, is the national office reduced its size considerably. I think our payroll, and if you look at FY01 audit and compare it to these budgets, is probably down about 20%. The entire payroll of the national office has dropped 20%. That's in contrast to the stations, where probably the payroll has increased. Looking at the September budgets that I gave you, I think the overall network was increasing about 33% from FY01. So what you're seeing in happening in Pacifica, the trend that you're seeing, Lydia, over the last several years, and Carol, is a declining national office, even though central services is still high because legal expenses are high and the national debt is high, declining size of the national office and much more of that revenue staying at local stations. So when we analyze the problem of listener support, I think, again, you know, we need to look at where the solution is going to be to that problem. And even though you might find 100,000, 200,000 maybe at national office, if you want to cut back on programming or, you know, various areas, it'd be hard to cut back on insurance, don't really want to cut back on Democracy Now!, national services, central services still return for every dollar that is paid to national, you get the stations get back at least a dollar. And therefore, when we look at where the issues are around the system, I think we need to really begin to address the core problem, the drop-off in listener support, and work on and focus on that. Carol, I just wanted to also respond quickly to the question about the positions. I hear your concerns. I know I tried to elucidate some of my concerns today, and what I think the way that we should probably handle that is to call a separate conference call in executive session, because those are obviously personnel and sensitive issues, but they ought to be discussed, and I hear your concerns, and I'd love to be able to work together to resolve those.
Good. Then if we can do that within the week, that would be very good, because it's quite late at this point.
Great.
Folks, I know that Janice is next. My phone is about to die. I can get on my cell phone, but I'm afraid that in this transition, people are going to get cut off again.
Yeah.
So I'd rather do this in an orderly way, if that's okay with folks. If we all just hang up and call back,
mm-hmm.
I'll call back on my cell phone and then not get, you know.
Leslie, do you want me to be the chair of the call?
That's fine. I still have to get off, so.
All right, I'll do
the chair. So when I get off, because I am the moderator according to the technology, you're all going to get knocked off.
Okay, so we're going to hang up and call right back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, everyone.
Okay.
I think we've got Pete. Yes, Pete's here?
Yes.
Lydia, are you here? Lydia, not yet. David?
Yes.
Carol?
Yeah.
George? Not yet, I guess. Janice?
Yeah.
Myself, Teresa, AC?
AC, yes.
Okay, Don and Lonnie. So we're missing George.
George and Lydia.
And Lydia. Well, I think we should continue.
Okay.
Can I put me in, on the stack?
Okay. I think Janice was listening.
Okay, I have a couple of comments and questions. I've been at the station every day. And today I spent some time getting some updates with Don Rojas. And things still don't look that good, although we are chipping away at the amount. Instead of the deficit being I think you guys were saying 380,000, it's like 338,000 now. Fulfillment is at 59.7% on the October drive, he said. People will be putting together, you know, they are working on this plan. Sometimes with this going on, you know, we're sort of looking at reports here, and then sometimes I know for me, I go by anecdotal stuff too, and one thing that people are talking about is that not just salaries have changed at BAI. We have more rent. We used to get a lot of donated supplies. I don't know if you remember that, Dan, where we didn't even have to buy reel-to-reel tape because some company gave it to us. And when the fulfillment, we used to have lower fulfillment rates, but when credit people started using credit cards, then the fulfillment rates were higher, which is why now we look at fulfillment rates of 70 and 75% as the norm. But there was a time when it wasn't that way. That's not to make an excuse. That's just sort of like a change in the landscape. My second comment is about the listenership being down. Contrary to what our secretary, who sent a letter out to many listeners here in the New York area, I think the term was listeners are leaving in droves. This is why I said we're all going between anecdotal evidence and actual reports. About a week ago, I went and talked to our premiums person and the person who takes care of subscriptions and got some reports on the number of subscribers. And back when the coup was going on, we had gone down to like 13,004. I think it was 18,000 before that, 13,004 it went down when the coup people were in. Then when we came back, it went up to more than 19,000, something like 19,700. Well, listenership is down 600 people, according to the last report I saw. So that doesn't, to me, indicate that people are leaving in droves. The next point I wanted to make was the point in the resolution, in those resolutions. I'm really concerned, which I see a lot of people expressing concern about number 3, about each show having to show that it's self-sustaining with a listener base of support. I think that there are shows that, like the opera show, doesn't make any money here. And the science fiction show doesn't make much money. But those are shows that we don't want to get rid of. So I think we need to have something in addition to this financially self-sustaining criterion to show why somebody's on the air.
Leslie, put Dave on the stack, please.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, I have on the stack here, AC, Lydia, Teresa, and now Dixit.
Can you put Rachel, please?
Yeah. Leslie, given the fact that you have issues at BAI, I would rather have what Janet has raised to be discussed before I come on.
Okay.
Just to go on without discussing it, because BAI is a central...
Well, the main thing I'm really concerned about is this really this throwing around of the assertion that listeners are leaving in droves and that people are not supporting WBAI. Again, we have the report, and I've got anecdotal evidence from my own from being in the tally room and talking to people who are calling in and pledging. One woman told me that she received Carol's letter and that she said, you know, this is no prompting from me. I didn't know who she was. Her last name was Lichtenstein. That's the only thing I remember. She said, I got this letter from the secretary of the board, and I don't agree with what she said. She said, when you guys came back, I overextended myself to make sure that I could help you get back on your feet. And now I'm just coming out of that, so now I'm able to
to do a little bit. She said, but no, I'm not that upset. I'm not upset, and I don't know what's going on. I think the other accusation is that the infighting is causing the problem. And she didn't even know what the infighting was. Most people don't know about the infighting. And the infighting basically takes place on the good light board and on the internet with these people sending shit back and forth, sending stuff back and forth to each other with accusations and name calling. So that's just a comment, and it's something I think we need to think about when we're making these statements to the public.
Okay, are there other comments about the WBAI situation?
Well, this is Teresa. I think that's a very legitimate point. When I hear Lonnie or Dan saying, or anyone saying, you know, the listeners are going away in droves, I'm thinking our listeners are not going away in droves. They have continued to show to show their support. And, I mean, if I understand the tone of what you said, Lonnie, you're saying that you're projecting that listeners' support will go again down again in January. I mean, how can you say that about KPFT? It seems to me we've found, right now, we're constantly searching for the right program mix to appeal to people, to encourage their support. What makes you think that our listenership will go down?
Oh, actually, I wasn't referring to KPFT.
Okay.
Some stations, their listener support seems to be holding up quite well, and KPFT is one of them. In fact, you guys had a pretty good drive. In fact, a very good drive. I would say the same thing is true about KPFW.
PFW.
I'm sorry, KPFW.
WPFW.
Yes, I'm... yeah, you know, I said they had a wonderful drive. And that was no accident at TNW. They had a strategy that really did resonate with the listeners. So I don't intend to make a general statement. I'm speaking from a network point of view in terms of the overall network resources. But there are, of course, real differences between the stations. So didn't mean to imply with every station.
But also, folks, we went off stack because AC had suggested that we focus on BAI. So are there other comments that people want to make or questions that people have related to the WBAI situation?
I wanted to go back to something about the national budget, so just tell me when that's appropriate.
Okay, not yet. Okay, well, then I want to say something about the BAI situation.
And I was next, also, that's right.
No, okay.
I'm after Janet. This is Lydia.
Okay, yeah.
About BAI?
Hello, Lydia. Good to have you.
No, not
board.
About BAI.
Okay, don't worry. We'll go back to the list.
Yeah, right.
AC, then Lydia, then et cetera, et cetera. Okay, on BAI, again, I want to say what I said earlier. That is, I don't know, because I don't have it in front of me, what the decline in listener support is. And by listener support, I mean dollars coming in. I mean, there's a lot of people who say they support the station but don't actually send in money.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the decline is. What I do know, and again, I don't have all the figures in front of me, so I can't recite chapter and verse, but I remember that the budgets have grown over the last several years. So I think the challenge here in terms of solving this problem, and I think that Lonnie and Dan agree with this, is to not only figure out how to increase listener support, increase dollars coming in, but also how to cut back the budget. And I think that's an important piece of the challenge that we have here, and that's certainly true in the national office because of the decreasing amount that national will get because of the the less money coming into BAI, and I don't know, you know, and that's probably true in, you know, or might be true in the future from other stations too. So I don't think it's unreasonable to look at cuts in the budget. I don't think, though, that that's an all or nothing proposition. I think just as Dan said that he's taking a salary cut and the general manager is. Maybe, I don't know what all salaries are at BAI, but maybe some of the other people could take a little bit of a cut. Maybe it's not a question of not paying all the bills to all the vendors. Maybe some get paid. Maybe there's a payment schedule that's figured out. you know, as revenue generating ideas are going to place too. But so I do think that, looking at the budget, the projected need, you know, is an important part of this equation also. So on BAI, Ray, did you want to say something on BAI?
Yeah, I just wanted to, it was general, it was that I've been speaking to people, I don't have hard figures, but I've spoken to people who have, you know, who coordinate the amount of money that they're taking, and it is clear that what's happening here is a multi-level, multifaceted problem, that the definition of some of the money coming is based on some of the same reasons why organizers of anti-war demonstration are having trouble getting people. Not that people don't care, but that either they're tired, maybe they're pausing. Now, that being said, I realize that no matter what the reason, the problem is real, and I'm not denying it. However, if the diagnosis is wrong, then the prognosis would also be wrong, and we'll remove the wrong organ. So I'm very concerned that we respect the station. I'm not saying that anybody has said anything that would be otherwise, but I'm concerned that we respect that the process that's taking place in BAI is a valid one, and that indeed I know of people who have been discouraged. I know people have been confused by some of the stuff they heard on the air. And I know some of the people who are part of the struggle have, because of their unhappiness, reduced the amount of money that they send to a minimum. But these are rather the people who are closely involved in the political fight in the station rather than the listener at large. So I would say that we should assume, we should give BI all the chance that it deserves. And I know they're doing a lot of fundraising. I'm not sure yet what the result is. And I understand that built into this remedy is its own contradiction in a way that these are the same folks to whom we'll go again one more time and ask. So in a way, we're increasing the potential for donor fatigue next time around. I realize that. So I do understand that what has to be done partially is outreach that hasn't been done yet. Outreach to really go to new people. And so rather than assuming that, I mean, I do share with them that there is conflict and that it's surfaced on the air and that maybe some of the party is shared with other folks and so on. But I'm being very positive, and I think that clearly that layoffs should be the last, absolute last resort, and they should be done once I'm assuming that critical staff are identified. That it should be done to minimum. That's all I have to say for now.
Okay, so let's go back to the list here. I had AC and then Lydia.
Yes. I want clarification on PFW, given that it raised nearly $500,000, and you acknowledge that it has done very well. My question is, I thought I heard you say it has no money. It's going broke or will be broke fairly quickly, and I'd like to have some explanation as to what happened to that budget if it's going to do that. That's the first question, Lonnie. The other question is, and I also wonder, this is a wonder, I just wonder to what extent the imposition, not imposition, but the desire to have a reserve fund, is it some thought being given to the fact that this may be too early in the game after they finish paying off the debt? Is this can be a hardship? Should it be postponed for a year? Should it be? I mean, what should happen here? The other thing is the one element that I know nobody likes to hear, but other organizations have done this because it appears that we need a window here. Have we considered appealing to some of our natural allies for a low, very low interest loan that might help get out of some of this? And I mean by that, I've seen Labor do that before, and so that that can be addressed. And I think that I mentioned the last time we had a conference call that we should have a parallel strategy to raise funds, and to also, I even went so far as to suggest that that we have a an emergency conference to do that. But even if we can't afford that, we need to have some discussions about revenue development, which you have pointed out today. And I still think we should. And I agree with what Lydia said earlier about having the chairs, I mean, the managers of stations, but I would also like to have the fundraising person on, the development person on at the same time, because I think that there needs to be some exploration as to how we can raise revenues in the immediate future. And I'd like for this to be answered, if you don't mind, Money.
Sure.
And Dan, if you will.
Sure. Let's start with the loans, if we can.
Yes.
Because I've been looking into it, because that's the natural thing to do. What I'm finding is that we have two big strikes against us in terms of getting what we call a commercial loan or even a private loan, is that our credit rating is terrible, as you probably know, and that our financials, when we publish them on the website, of course, they go have a look. And, you know, what any bank or any financial statement that has some experience is going to say, hey, you don't have any money. You have no working capital. You can't demonstrate the capacity to pay it back. And that's especially with interest. So low interest or no interest loan is something we would certainly love to have, but even if you can't pay principal back, you've got a problem. So we still are interested, by all means, and still exploring some of the possibilities there. On the question of revenue strategy, which is, let's get serious about revenue. And bring together, you know, our best people, best minds, best thoughts, and see what happens. I tend to think that even in a period of short funds, you have to look at revenue. Even though you have to be very, very tempered, you know, you may not raise a whole lot of money. But then again, have publicized the problem. And I think that you have to let people know what the problem is. It may not lie inside Pacifica, maybe someone outside Pacifica will be able to come up with a good idea, or even real dollars. So yes, I do think that's a good idea. Why is WPFW have a record drive and not have cash? Well, you know what they did is they ended up last fiscal year with about $20,000 in the bank. That means they came into this fiscal with only $20,000. So the surplus that they are showing, that is $104,000 or so, is what they plan to raise over the course of this fiscal. And that would be, their monthly operating is about $145,000, so they'll have $104,000. And they just manage that budget. And looking at the second drive, they think they can increase that slightly as well, because they think they have a formula that's working for them. So they have, you know, they're doing, from where I sit, okay, they have a plan in place around revenue. They have a strategy. They have a way to address listeners' concerns. They tie their drive to the election, saying get your donations in before the election deadline. So it worked out well for them. I really, you know, feel good about what they did there, to tell you the truth. So there's no contradiction. It's just that they started with fairly low funds and had a good drive, and another one will get them a good working service. Now, can the central services be postponed? That question comes up.
No, not the central service, but the reserve.
The reserve.
The reserve concept. Could that be delayed? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
Is it possible?
Come up with other stations, too, but it's Peter and Paul that, you can't. I mean, some stations may not have the money. That'll be that, in a way. It'll happen whether we plan for it or not, sort of. What happens then is that we transfer the problem someplace else, whether it be to the national, and then we'll cut back as much as we can, and then we won't pay our vendors, or we won't pay the attorneys, or we won't pay we'll renegotiate insurance or something. But I do think that we have to, in this precious time that we have in this next month or so, think about solving permanent problems rather than transferring them. So we must have really good solutions. That is to say, I always say, my old boss used to say to me, hey, give me a permanent solution, not one that really transfers the problem someplace else. So maybe we could come up with one or two good permanent solutions if we just focus and say that's what we need to do. Otherwise, we will indeed be back in 3 months
with nothing really solved, merely transferred to somebody else. So that's my fear, is that we will not have given the attention that it's going to take. That we need a good, solid, sustainable, permanent solution to this problem. Otherwise, we will not have solved it. We'll just, as I keep saying, transfer. So I don't want to sound pessimistic, but I do want to stress we need to get good ideas on the table that will solve the problem. Right now, I am not offering. I wish I had one in hand. Right now, I don't have on the finance side a permanent, sustainable source of revenue to compensate for the listener gap. Nothing is coming. And everybody, and I'm talking, we're talking to as many people as possible, don't have it. Not yet, but we need to get it.
Well, Leslie, this is Teresa. I was on the...
Well, Lydia is next.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a number of questions. One, Dan, in Houston, you had said that you had planned to reduce the central services to 15%, given your own... the Pacifica National Debt. I assume that that's not going to happen, although I would prefer seeing it reduced to the 15% so that when we look at budgets, we see where the real debt is. And it was my same issue as with the loans. I'd like to see that as the Pacifica loans, as the Pacifica debt, rather than painting the picture that it's the stations that have not been able to raise the money. My other issue is the same as Teresa's with KPFK, is that at KPFK, I have seen both in a press release that you put out.
Does anybody else hear music?
I think that's Ray's hold button.
Okay, is kind of, a rather down, negative picture of what's happening at KPFK. This is why I recommend speaking to the general managers, is because at KPFK, yes, we raised $750,000 at this latest fund drive for only 10 days. Some of the stations I know go longer, and we had the fires and, you know, the strikes and blah, blah, blah. But over and above that, what I discovered in asking donors is not a diminishment of donor support, of listener support, but rather donor fatigue. And that fatigue came as a result of the summer drive that was specifically added to our fund drive schedule in order to pay off the loan. So what I'm saying is that I think that it's a little bit of a hysterical reaction to a soft drive, which was October, without taking into consideration the other issues, which is we just had one in August, and at least locally here we had the fires and so forth. I think that we have I know that we have listener support many times what we did before, and we've increased by 10 to 13,000. To cut back in staff is just foolhardy by any standard of business management, because as we have increased the listeners, you need people to start taking all of the phone calls. Plus, we have gone through this whole phase of democratizing the network, and so you have far more listener participation in activity at the station, community events, all kinds of things that we didn't have before, including, of course, the election and budget and so on and so forth. But it is not because of a diminishing listener support, in my opinion, certainly not at KPFK. And I really think it does not do well. It is not good for the network to be projecting that. So that's one. And then the other thing is, let me see. I think that's that. That about covers it. Oh, no, one more thing. My other point with that is that historically here at KPFK anyway, we would increase in listeners every fund drive, but then we weren't able to sustain them. And the wonderful thing is that since last spring of 2002, we've had this tremendous increase where our fund drives were never like more than like 500,000 or something. Now it's routine for us to expect close to a million. And but the listeners haven't gone away, and that's huge. So I absolutely think that you're cutting us all a little short here. I really think that it's going to be, you can't bank it on one. I would say if you had two regular fund drives that were this soft, then you can start talking. But I don't think that's true just based on one.
I want to get the stack, Leslie.
Okay, I have in the stack I have.
Can I just quickly respond?
Yeah. I just want, after you respond, I have Teresa, David, and then Carol.
4624.
Oh, man.
All right. Is Ray, I'd like to ask, is Ray on the phone right now? No, I think that's Ray's hold button.
All right, well, when he gets on again, we'll ask him.
Could you please?
Okay, Teresa is next. I'm sorry, Dan was responding.
Okay, I'll try to respond over the music. Yeah, Lydia, no chance that Central Services will come down in the foreseeable future. I know Word and the National Office have been working to on that issue, but right now, obviously, it's tough. In terms of the overall picture of the finances of the foundation, I share Lonnie's assessment that we're in a clear situation that is going to affect not just certain individual stations, but the entire network. We should not have any illusions about the problems. As Lonnie is saying, at least one of our stations is running out of money and they won't be able to meet payroll. The liquidity crisis is absolutely serious in the foundation. $7,800, not acceptable for any organization to have that as a surplus for an annual budget of the size that we're at. Something that the auditors can routinely point out. It's something that the CFO and the finance people routinely point out. I think we have to be prudent. I think we have to be measured in our response, of course. But we also have to face reality, not just at WBAI, but the financial state of the network, where we are looking at a substantial drop-off of listener support for whatever reason. But we have to make the adjustments necessary within Pacifica, in my view and the CFO's view, to live within our means and to make sure that we're able to survive as a network and to make the painful decisions today so that we're here in 10, 20, 30, 40, another 50 years. So I hear your concerns, but the information that we're getting from the CFO, the information that I'm sharing with you today, the discussion about the severe liquidity crisis and the issue of functional bankruptcy, as Lonnie mentioned, is real. And we all have to understand that. Seriously, there's been a tremendous expansion in the foundation, and it's so hard to contract. It's the hardest thing to do. It's so easy to expand. It's so easy to rack up our credit card bills. It's so easy to buy. It's so easy to get a new person on staff. Those things are, the costs are ballooning, as we know. Even in September, we were reporting 18% increases in expenses, but only a 12% increase in revenue. And at that time, I reported, this is big, big trouble. Big, big trouble. We have to wake up and understand that with the way that this foundation is going today, it is going south. We have to understand we're going in the wrong direction financially. So I want to I don't mean to raise my voice there. I just wanted to make the point that we all understand that we have to take action to in my view, change the direction that we've been heading in over the few months. I think Lonnie has made some excellent, and the business managers and the general managers really would like to thank them and acknowledge their hard work and support. They've done a heck of a job over the last 2 months in dealing with this situation. And we still have a long way to go over the next few months. But the steps that we're proposing we think are prudent, are first steps, and are necessary.
Okay, I have on the list here Teresa, David, and Carol, and it's going on 9 o'clock East Coast time, which means that we've been on the call almost 2 hours. So
ask Ray not to put us on hold.
Yeah, Ray, are you on?
I'm sorry.
Ray, when you put us on hold, we get music.
I see. I apologize. So
it's not WBAI.
Right. Hit the
WNBA, our labor show.
Hit the mute button if you need to. But don't put us on hold.
Okay.
Or you could hang up and redial in.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Teresa, David, Carol.
Okay. I want to clarify something, Dan. When you say that Central has cut staff. Or has cut 200,000 from 18 months ago. Is that a result of the fact that we have no personnel director now, or no HR person? We have no program director, and we also have no news department. Now, when we use FSRN, they are contractors, right, rather than employees. So we've saved money that way. Is that correct?
Yes.
So when you say we've saved about $200,000, those are the three things that, when it comes to staff.
Yeah, that's basically, you know, we shut down our whole Pacifica National programming unit last February. I think there may have been about 17 positions or so that we eliminated. I don't have the number right off the top of my head.
That was 2 years ago, Dan.
That was 2 years
year.
Ago.
Almost.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Teresa. That's the majority of the savings. We reorganized the KU satellite service as well.
So is KU less expensive now than it was 2 years ago?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Largely due to, you know, the support and of KPFA.
All right, great. Okay. I would encourage all the national board members to look at those 4 points, the four items the four top items in cutting back, Democracy Now!, insurance, legal, and national board, and I'll try to do what I can to reduce cost of national board, and I don't know, maybe we should have some special sessions on that, and maybe you ought to find a less expensive conference call me that you're using right now, as I have suggested several times. I also think that we ought to remember
Lisa,
that
just so you know, this is a different system, and it is less expensive.
Okay. I won't even quote how much it costs on the air. What I'm thinking is that we need to consider that we are a volunteer organization, and when we can find a volunteer to do something rather than a staff member, that we need to seriously consider it. And I had not really considered the trend toward hiring, even at my own station, until my attention was called to it by Lonnie and Dan. I mean, just in this general situation, we had been picking up employees, and that's something everybody needs to consider. Like, we don't have any employees right now that are paid to be on the air, other than our news department right now, because, I mean, they need the technical stuff. But Dwayne said many months ago, he said, you know, I don't have to pay anybody to play music because they're begging me to get on the air and play music, and people are begging for shows. I personally know of some programs at WBAI that are great, and people are not paid to run them. So just a thought.
Okay, David?
Yeah, you know, it's ironic that the prior regime was centralizing and using fewer volunteers and getting less in community resources in terms of involving itself with community organizations and so forth. And yet it had plenty of money, largely because it was aiming its programming at, you know, where the money was. But that we, you know, with the aim to enhance community involvement, have actually increased paid staffing levels throughout the network, except, you know, perhaps the national office, which apparently has been, you know, pretty much reduced in staffing numbers. So we need staff. You know, but what tasks? I mean, as a board, albeit an interim board, and we've been here longer than we're supposed to be, and so we're actually dealing with policy issues that really should not have been on our table. It should be in front of elected boards. But in any event, we need to help develop policy that guides the reaction to shortfalls and layoffs, because, you know, layoffs are going to be needed. We can talk about whether they're fair or nice or good, but, you know, we got no money to certain costs we can cut and certain costs we cannot. And if, as it appears, layoffs are needed, we should plan and not just say, okay, well, we're out of money now, I've got to lay everybody off. No, we've got to plan and define staffing policies so that we can do it proactively on our own terms, at our own timing, and also so we're not vulnerable to legitimate arguments about how that affects the union and union jobs and standing. Because you can't just bring a volunteer in to cover somebody's job, you know, because all of a sudden there's an opening and there's a volunteer. I mean, it needs to be done by planning. And another issue I'd like to make is...
I wasn't saying that. I'm sorry.
I wasn't saying that you were.
Okay.
But there's issues that need to be, you know,
taken into account. And another issue is raised by a point that Lonnie made, that donors are more giving to programs rather than to the foundation. And this is all leading to what I think is something of a solution, at least in sort of a general sense. To me, it's a more important aspect. Why are people giving money? You know, is it because, you know, they're giving it to support the mission, or because they like that show? And whether a program is a moneymaker or not is not so important to me as it is whether or not the program promotes the mission, promotes Pacifica in the context of the mission, and thereby promotes people to support Pacifica in general. And I think that while one program might promote itself and say it's great, that's fine. It might also note that, look, there are these other programs that may not make a lot of money because they're aimed at sectors that may not be giving us a lot of money, listeners and so forth, but that as a good point and a reason why I should support Pacifica, because there's a program I might not listen to, but because I recognize it's an important program. Now, it's not a cable company, and people sometimes say that, well, I paid for this show and I didn't get that show and I was ripped off. Well, nonsense. You're paying to promote the maintenance of an infrastructure to allow voice. It's, you know, otherwise it's just a selfish thing. And I think that we can really benefit from having programs promoting the mission. And, you know, with the elections coming up, or in front of us, really, how we might consider how to exploit the fact of the elections to generate awareness and interest and then funding. And I think that if we can somehow compel or persuade or you know, control the programmers at working more towards that, and again, and it's sort of a general sort of solution, but I think if we just change some of the focus of programming into really promoting the mission, not just by saying, well, we're promoting the mission because we're talking about X topic, but talking about the mission and really getting people more aware of the mission in Pacifica. And I think if we focused on that, I know that it would compromise our current programming grid because, you know, someone wants to listen to a given music show or a given labor show or something like that. But I think if we could really focus the programmers into promoting Pacifica, it should create more awareness both around the elections, stimulating awareness of that, as well as, in the terms of funding. You know, that and layoffs. I mean, you know, we got to deal with those policies of how we do that. But and using volunteers, I think, is really key to, not to say that we totally replace ourselves, you know, replace staff with volunteers, but we really expand our use of volunteers and focus our staff on maintaining an environment in which volunteers can operate.
Yeah.
Okay, Carol.
Okay, I have a couple of points. I'm 100% in support of Lonnie and Dan telling us that we absolutely have to accumulate some reserves. As Lonnie has pointed out, if we don't, then we can't borrow money. We can't cover shortfalls when they happen. We are on the brink of bankruptcy if we don't have reserves. At any given moment, some catastrophe happens, and we're on the brink of bankruptcy. You can't operate. We cannot operate that way. So painful as it is, I support it. It's painful at KPFA. I know it's painful everywhere. Second point, in looking at how to generate revenues, we were founded on the premise of listener-sponsored radio. And we've lived on that primarily for about 50 years, 54. Although about 15% of our money comes from the CPB, about 85% of it comes from listener support. And what that does for us is it provides us with editorial freedoms that nobody else has. So it allows us to say things and air views and ideas that are not mainstream and can get really quite far out there. We do, though, have to, I believe, understand that if the listeners don't support what we're doing, we're off the air. And so, you know, we've got to find the right balance there. There's another thing that kind of echoes what Dave was saying, which is I actually did an analysis of the programs at KPFA and which raised money, how much per hour average over the past year, and noted some interesting things, which I would like to share with you. Over the past decade, the wisdom, received wisdom at Pacifica was that strip programming was the way to go. So you could raise the most money by producing daily programs where, you know, the same host and the same format at the same time. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That you could produce the raise the most money with strip programs, that those programs build the largest audience. But those are also the most expensive to produce, because when you have a program where it's on once a week, a volunteer can do that. It's not a full-time job. But if you're producing a daily program, it is a full-time job, and you have to become an employee, and you have to have staff and associate producers and so forth. So strip programs are more expensive to produce. And the question is, do they really raise more money per hour? And I looked at that, and I found that some of them do. Democracy Now! Does. Flashpoints at KPFA does. And some of them don't. And that there are a lot of programs that are on weekly, not daily, that are produced by volunteers and are thus very inexpensive to produce and are of extreme high quality because the person isn't trying to put out a daily program, that get as much listener support or more per hour than the strip programs do. So I'm putting this out as information for people to look at. Now, I don't think KPFT or WPFW actually have strip programs locally produced. but I'm putting this out for the information of KPFK and WPFW because it was quite fascinating to see at WBA, at KPFA. And that leads to Lonnie's suggestion that we look at all of our programs and see what's producing money and what's not and whether it's self-sufficient. And most of the programs don't cost us anything. Most of our programming is produced by volunteers. So I think we really need to look at our strip programs carefully, very carefully, to see whether they're doing what they're supposed to do, which is building audiences that love the program and feel connected to the mission and are raising enough money to help cover expenses.
Carol, this is Dan. Can I just riff off that just briefly? Because what that work that you're talking about doing is what informed the resolution that we were putting on the table around programming having as one of their goals to be financially self-sustaining, which, of course, that language, as you may recollect, is actually from the Pacifica mission statement around self-sufficiency or being self-sustaining. But exactly that exercise would be very useful, I think, for the board to be replicated around the Pacifica Radio Network to do that analysis as a start.
I think it's a useful analysis, but I think we have to be very cautious about it.
Right, I understand
that. Because there
that.
Are some programs that are extremely valuable that don't raise much money. For instance, at KPFA, we've got Hard Knock Radio, and that's on. It's a daily program. It's a hip-hop culture and politics program, and people love it. I hear about it all the time, and I don't know why it doesn't raise money, but it doesn't. But it's really helping us to build a youth audience that we really need. So, you know, I'm just saying we need to be very cautious about it.
Yeah, and we have the same problem and the same issue at PFW as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you do have to grow your future audience. That is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a balance.
And then let me just also say that there's the flip side of the problem, too, that there may be some shows that generate a lot of money, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily the best you know, the fullest articulation of the mission.
Precisely so. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, true.
Can you give some examples of who that might be?
Well, I'd rather not right now.
I think we should
really
do that
curious.
we're on the air, Janice is coming.
Just say theoretically.
Leslie, could I take the sense that will we have a vote on this budget tonight?
Well, that's what we have to get back to right now. We have four resolutions from Dan and Lonnie, and we have the budget. On the budget, there was serious concern raised, especially about the national budget, that we don't have enough information to make a full enough, informed enough decision as to whether or not to pass it, and that therefore we should have an executive session as soon as possible. So I need to sort of get a read from people here. Is there agreement on that? Are people prepared to vote on the budgets? Can we vote on all the budgets except the national budget, or should we take them as a whole? I'm a little confused about how to move on the budget. So, and then we have the four resolutions also.
Leslie, is there a stack yet? This is Lydia.
I can stack to speak to that question that I just raised.
Okay, I want to speak to the fact that before proceeding with the budget, I think that it's very important to have the five general managers participate in the telephone conference call that I received.
Speak up, Lydia.
Before, I think that's specifically relevant to the budget. We really need a more accurate picture. I think that there is a divergent views here as to where we really are. And
right.
I really think we need to hear who's going to have the greatest impact are the stations, so we need to hear from them.
Right. So that's another reason to not vote on the budget tonight.
Well, this is Teresa. I'd like to say something.
Yeah.
I just agree with that. I think that our general manager communicates with us very well, and I take the time to ask questions of him, and I'm assuming that the other national board members can. Frankly, I just don't see how adding another five people to the conference call is really going to help, especially since, I mean, there is nothing to stop us as national board members from getting the information. In fact, I would recommend that our national board people make appointments and go together and sit down with the station managers and talk about these problems.
Well, may I respond?
Let's let Adrian respond, but then I need to hear from Dan and Lonnie about the timing on voting on the budget.
Well, one thing I would have to point out, though, is that the budget is the authorization for national staff to spend money as well as the stations. That is the authorization. Without it, there is no authorization to spend funds. So, you know, both for the stations and the national, maybe what we can do, if I would suggest, is we get a continuing resolution for another 45 days or whatever we need to do. But our 45 days were up from the last. We had a budget that was only for those 45 days.
Yeah.
Right. I want to weigh in after AC.
So we have AC. Okay, I'm sorry, Dan, did you want to add something?
Leslie, I would just add, you know, we are facing a situation in the foundation where every day that goes by, we are bleeding or hemorrhaging. And I think we need to take action on these budgets, preferably tonight, at least to pass the budgets. Perhaps the resolutions can't be dealt with today and may have to be discussed at a later time. But to pass the budgets is a goal that we set back in September, and we'd like to see if we can resolve it tonight.
Okay. Well, I had AC and then Carol.
Well, I think in view of what Leslie had said and what Lydia had raised, that Dan, is there any reason why that can't wait a week? That's one question I want to know.
Well, I would respond with another question, which is I'm not so sure I understand the problem around information in the general managers.
Well, I think someone has mentioned, or you have mentioned, a continuous resolution. That may be something that we could pass, seems to me. But but as far as the ratification of the budget, it seems to me that doesn't have to be done today, right? I mean, is that a necessity that it has to be done today?
Well, I heard Lonnie say, we need to do something. Either we need to pass the budgets for the year, or we need to pass a budget, you know, on a provisional basis. In other words, a continuing.
Right.
Right.
I
so
can support a
something.
Provisional basis, yeah, since he said he has a deadline on that. I think they have to be able to spend money. I mean, it's not.
Okay, and what I think I heard from Lydia, if I might, Lydia, try to interpret this, mm-hmm. is that and I'm not saying everybody on the board agrees with it, that mm-hmm. Teresa obviously didn't, mm-hmm. but I think the point about the general managers is that people want to know that if we're going to pass budgets that reflect some serious cuts in the budgets for these patients, that they want to hear from the general managers that they're on board with that also.
That's right.
Leslie.
That's just my issue.
Okay, I'm sorry. Carol was there.
I just wanted to support Lydia's proposal.